This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, how was the weekend?
Pretty good, Pack. Saw some really entertaining basketball Saturday night in Atlanta. Notre Dame and Georgia Tech went to overtime. And who knew it was going to be just one piece of an unbelievable weekend of drama in the ACC, right?
A bunch of close games. We'll get into that. We had some blowouts on the ladies' side, which we're going to get into. We got the best and worst of the weekend. We're going to give you a special edition of accounting today. We got great guests. But I got to tell you, this weekend, bought a bunch of firewood back in November. Finally cranked up the fireplace. And there's nothing better, man. Wood-burning fireplace, rainy days, football, hoops, good sports. Yeah. Guys shooting 97 under par on the PGA Tour. I mean, it was a tremendous sports weekend. True. It really was. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, you could get full scoops of just about, I don't know, four or five different things if you wanted to. You could certainly get big scoops of college basketball. ACC gives you great drama. You had the NFL yesterday, the final day of the regular season. And you mentioned golf. Holy smokes. I mean, they're playing that place like a pitching putt, aren't they?
I believe I might have been able to break 80 on that joint. Now, I'm telling you, man, those guys are going, those dudes are going
easy,
low.
Big fella.
I mean, they were shooting 61s and 62s like a piece of cake. I'm like, what is going on here now? So, I even watched a little while.
And some of them are doing it with borrowed clubs.
Yeah, just like, hey, whatever. We're just going to slap at it and make everything a look at. Then I even watched the All-American High School Bowl. And there's some future ACC dudes out there. I'm just telling you, man, there were some guys lighting it up Saturday. So, we got a lot to cover today on the show. I mean, a bunch to cover.
Yeah, we're going to get basketball in. Seth Greenberg will be here at 8 o'clock. John Hughley of Pittsburgh, who's become really one of the more dominant players in the ACC when you look at it from a statistical situation. Panthers get a great win over BC. We'll talk to John Hughley. Cam McGusty of Miami will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. And that's kind of where we'll start the A block here today, because Saturday night, Miami walked into Cameron and didn't flinch back. Did not flinch at all. Charlie Moore, Isaiah Wong, Cam McGusty, Sam Wardenburg, Jordan Miller. Larrañaga had this crowd ready to go, and they delivered, I thought.
You think? Yeah, they delivered. And, of course, the Packer and Durham bump. Charlie Moore makes a shot late, which is so ridiculous that you're going to have to see it 10 times a day. But this was a phenomenal win for Miami. And the old backdoor cut, man, Duke might want to look into that. And even, you know, I give Duke credit too, right? They go on an 18-2 run in the first quarter, and we've seen it so often for decades upon decades upon decades. A team that's hot rolls into Cameron, thinks they got something for Duke. Duke goes on an 18-2 run. Good night. Sleep tight, right? Turn out the lights. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Miami responds instantly. They just kept hanging around. And Wes, even as that game got late and it's tied, and Duke makes two great defensive plays to take a really kind of feeling like a commanding lead with 40 seconds to go, Miami doesn't back down at all. It was almost like, okay, cool, good play right by you, our turn. And it was a phenomenal win for Miami. And, you know, we talked about this for weeks. You know, we know what Duke's all about. Nobody has to explain to the world what Duke basketball is as far as where we are in the ACC and nationally. But who in the league is going to be able to piece together wins and kind of emerge? Well, you've got your first answer, right? And it was with an exclamation point Saturday night at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, in Miami, who is now 13-3, undefeated in the ACC, gets their fourth win ever over an AP top two program. Three of the four have come against Duke. And again, well, you're going to hear a lot this week about 2013 and the Shane Larkin, the Kenny Kaji, you know, that group that won the ACC's regular season and ultimately won the tournament in Atlanta 9 years ago this March. And Pac, when you start to think about Miami and the age of Miami, you start to look at a bunch of veteran guys. I mean, Rodney Miller is probably their oldest player. He's injured, not able to play for a couple more weeks, I think. Charlie Moore, who joined us on the show the other day, very circuitous route, right, to college basketball to ultimately end up at Miami. McGusty's a transfer. Isaiah Wong, we thought would be one of the top scorers in the ACC, and he still is, but he's got a lot of help now. And those three guards on the perimeter, and then they get guys like Miller, Wuga Poplar. They're getting guys to help. Wardenburg, a veteran guy who's healthy. You combine all those little details together. Larrañaga's got a team now. And this is a team that knows. Here's the other thing that impressed me. They don't flinch, but at the same time, they play with tremendous poise late game. I mean, I saw it in early December against Clemson. Down 9 with 6 minutes to go, they found a way to come back and win the game. I mean, they've done this now time and again. Think about the Syracuse game the other night. Big shots here and there. They took that mentality on the road to Duke. We all thought, well, here's Miami going on the road for the first time. Duke just beat Georgia Tech, didn't play great, knocked the rust off, yada, yada. Next thing you know, Miami goes there, and they're the ones that handle crunch time perhaps better than the Blue Devils in some respect.
Well, they did because they got great leadership. And we said this with Coach Larrañaga a couple weeks ago when he was on the show. When you've got talented, experienced guards in college basketball, you've got a chance. Now, we would all be crazy to sit there and go, yeah, they're going to go to Duke and win the game. I mean, Miami fans felt that. But, I mean, if you had a sane bone in your body, you'd sit there and go, hey, wait a minute, they're not going to win this game. Well, they did. And there's a stat, too, that I thought was interesting. Jim Larrañaga, 7-7 against Duke since he's been at Miami. You know, teams that were unranked had lost 59 consecutive games on the road to top two ranked teams. 59 in a row. Unranked. Miami, unranked because nobody in the ACC got a vote last week other than Duke, rolls in there and wins the game. But you mentioned their poise, Wes. You know, you brought up the Syracuse game. They're down 18 at home. No problem. We'll get back in the game to make six straight threes to start the second half. They catch Syracuse, win the game. The NC State game, they were down 8 with about 10 minutes to go. No problem. We'll win the game. You mentioned the Clemson game. You're starting to see a trend with these guys that, you know, there is no panic in the way they play. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win all their games.
That's right.
Nobody's going to in this league. I got news for you. But, man, that win right there. I mean, that was the one game that everybody looks on their schedule in this league and says, hey, when you get a chance to play Duke, it is your golden ticket opportunity to impress the judges because nobody else is ranked.
Yeah.
So when you are able to play Duke and beat them, much less at Cameron, I can't emphasize how big a win that is. And so I'm kind of curious to see what happens when the rankings come out this week. If we go from completely unranked, no votes, to cracking down the top 25, Miami certainly deserves it. But that was a phenomenal win for Jim Larrañaga and his guys. And they're old, they're experienced, and obviously on a 9-game winning streak, Wes, they are playing with a ton of confidence.
Yeah, no question. I think here's the other thing, too. Miami's not the only one. Yeah, they're the ones at the top of the ACC, but they're not the only ones that are starting to show some poise here. Now, they've only got 3 losses on the year. They're undefeated in ACC play. But you've got a bunch of ones here. Duke, Carolina, Notre Dame, Louisville. Louisville taking their first loss in conference play the other day against Florida State on the road Saturday night. Then you go to a scenario like the one with Notre Dame, right, Pac? And we're going to talk about some of these games over the weekend because here's where the combination of all these different schools. And, yeah, look, we're acknowledging right now, November and December were not great for the ACC. And it probably is going to impact the number of teams that go to the NCAA tournament. But this league right now, you have no idea what the guarantees are night in and night out. We had, 7 games on Saturday, Pac? 5 of them were 5 or less or overtime. That takes us to like 18 games already of 5 or less or overtime. That's bananas. We haven't seen that kind of competitive nature in this league in 20-some years at least, maybe longer than that.
Well, here's the thing. I got a good news, bad news. The good news is if you're a fan and you want to be entertained, we got good news for you because every game feels that way, right? Really does feel that way.
Yep.
I know North Carolina fans are watching this morning going, did you guys watch us? Yeah, we're going to get to North Carolina because they were fantastic
this
weekend, too.
Yeah, we did. We'll get to
you. We're going to get it because North Carolina was out of sight. So the good news is, whether it be a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday, whatever the case may be, and you turn on your television on ACC Network to watch the conference play on the men's side, you're bound to get a really tight, entertaining game. Here is the downside, Wes. Here's what bothers me a little bit, though. You need to see separation as far as wins in the league. And I'm thinking now again, March Madness. If everybody's around 11-9, 10-10, 9-10, that to me, while it gives you entertaining games every night, that's not going to cut it as far as the NCAA tournament, because nobody's resume this side of Duke's outside your non-conference schedule. I mean, nobody's been able to pile up quality wins, so you're going to have to kind of dominate your league. So, yeah, Saturday was fantastic. If you like games inside 5 points, overtime games, thrills, it was tremendous. And we're going to get more of that. But I think the more important thing is, can folks stack up W's? Right now, Notre Dame has won 5 in a row. They got Clemson next. The Tigers have won 5 of 6. It's one of those kind of momentum games when we see that early, later this week. There's a number of teams that are trying to get, those back-to-back weeks I keep talking about. You got to have them. You got to have them. And then there's the flip side, a team like Syracuse, where you let an 18-point lead get away on the road and you lose. You got Wake Forest on the ropes. All you need is an inbounds pass and make some free throws. You win one on the road at Switzerland. Instead, you go 0-2. Those are killers.
Yeah.
Those are killer losses.
Yep.
So the league's going to give you a ton of storylines moving forward. There's no question about that.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting because we'll get to this later in the show today. Even now, like this week, the midweek games are fascinating. It's not just an every once in a while thing. It's going to be every night on the schedule. There's going to be one or two games, at least through the remainder of January, that kind of push you through to the next week. And it's going to be a really interesting storyline for the league. Real quick here, I want to show you Miami and the rest of January just to get an idea where they are before we get to break here. At Florida State this week, then 7 days off before they host Carolina. Interesting break for Larrañaga's team. Then Florida State at home, at Virginia Tech, and at Georgia Tech before they close the month of January. So definitely a team you're going to keep your eye on. Remember, those three losses, Pack, are also fairly legitimate losses too. I mean, they lost to Dayton and Alabama of note, but those three losses in their 13-3 mark are all pretty good. I mean, when you think about quality losses, they're not bad.
There's nothing easy about those games coming up, including that one tomorrow night, because much like we talked last week with NC State, North Carolina, and women's basketball, where both teams are good,
right,
fans are into it, I'll guarantee you this much. When Miami rolls into Florida State tomorrow night, those boys at the Tuck will be fired up. They will go, oh, yeah, that's cool. You guys beat Duke the other night. Huh, that's really neat. Yeah. I've won 9 in a row. Wow, that's cool. Watch this. That place will be hopping tomorrow night because Florida State's coming off a good win. And Leonard will have his guys dialed in when Miami comes in. That'll be a fun, fun basketball game tomorrow.
So you think they'll be interested
They will be more than interested. I think they'll be sitting there going, hey, guess what? We're going to pop the balloon, boys. Y'all get ready. Y'all keep high-fiving yourselves. And again, that's where that old team, that experience, dudes have been playing enough ball. Hey, you put that Duke thing in the rearview mirror and get ready, because I'm telling you, man, Florida State will be dialed in tomorrow night. Promise you.
There you go. All right. Stay tuned. Seth Greenberg coming up top of the hour. When we come back, we'll dial into some of the other results from the weekend. Tigers get a nice road win at Raleigh. Armando Bacot was somebody Saturday in Smith Center. Yeah, and Alondis Williams, you did it again, my man. Deeks win it in overtime in the Twin Cities. Packer and Durham's Monday continues in a moment.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Durham on a Monday. Again, I hope everybody had a good weekend. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Obviously, Miami knocking off Duke in Cameron Indoor Stadium was a headliner. Wes, there are a bunch of teams that kind of raised some eyebrows over the weekend. One was North Carolina. Not that they won, because they finally snapped Virginia's stranglehold of 7 straight. But it's the way they went. I thought North Carolina was out of sight. Defensively, they played great. The passing of the ball, unselfish. Bacot, which I know we're going to talk about, was fantastic. I mean, I thought North Carolina looked the part Saturday in their total dismantling of Virginia basketball.
You had talked, I remember a couple of weeks ago, you thought Michigan, right, had been their best effort of the year.
Yeah.
Didn't you think, front to back? I thought that what we saw Saturday was a combination of two things. One, obviously great focus on behalf of Carolina that I'm not sure they had much of the other night at South Bend, especially on the defensive end of the floor.
Yep.
But the second part, Mark, that I found to be really engaging was Carolina offensively has evolved now to where they know number five inside's the real deal. But they find different ways for him to impact the game when he doesn't necessarily touch the ball. And I think that's an interesting development, and I don't know how much of that is part of the longer plan, but I thought Baycott's 29 and 21 on Saturday was really impressive, but I thought Carolina collectively played as well as they've played all year. They got, you know, Armando, 21 rebounds, and again, this guy's becoming a real problem in the league. And his motor that some people a couple of years ago thought they just weren't sure about, I mean, he's got the motor. But with Love and R.J. Davis and some of these guys scoring from the perimeter, I think Carolina's got a chance to be excited. But I think they also had learned, too, the valuable lesson of what they have to do at the defensive end in order to ensure that success. These are the last five Tar Heels with 20-point and 20-rebound games in the last 25 years. It's a pretty handy list to be on, by the way.
There's no doubt about that. I just love the way they shared the basketball. I mean, it was really a great team effort. I thought defensively they were totally focused in and what was going on, especially after you mentioned the game in South Bend earlier in the week. I thought that was the best I've seen North Carolina play this year. It was Michigan.
Yeah.
But, that's, man, Saturday they were really good. And Virginia had zero answers for that. I mean, good. And that was one of those – time to pack up. Let's get back to Charlottesville. This is a loss. And, again, when you've got Virginia down 25 in the second half, and it was methodical. I mean, it was just like, hey, share the basketball. I think if you're a North Carolina fan, you watch that game Saturday, you said, man, if that's what we get every night, I mean, we got a chance. We got a chance to cause some problems. So that's the consistency you're looking at moving forward. But I think Hubert Davis, whatever the message was after the loss at Notre Dame, they heard it loud and clear. And you mentioned Baycott. I mean, is this not a perfect example, Wes, of a guy that could have gone to the NBA and you know, he would have taken it and maybe roll the dice. If it works out and he can make seven figures, great. If not, you're in a G League or wherever you are. But he said, you know what? I need another year. And he's come back. He's gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. He understands the game. I mean, he's having a just phenomenal season. And that's a dude that made a really good business decision by coming back for one more year of school. And, I was really, really impressed with North Carolina on Saturday. I thought they were terrific.
Yeah, I'm with you on that part. Concern for Virginia, Mark?
I don't know.
Got a concern level at this point about the Cavaliers?
You know, they won at Syracuse. They won at Clemson. They were making shots. I think they ran into a buzzsaw Saturday that they weren't going to win that game, period, given how well North Carolina played. And the Heels kind of gotten sick and tired of, you know, been 4 or 5 years since they'd beaten the Hoos. Sometimes there's those days that you just go, hey, I tip my hat. We'll hope to see you down the road somewhere. I think Virginia, to me, kind of turned the corner on the road by winning at Syracuse and at Clemson and started to get some confidence offensively. But that was a bad matchup Saturday, given the way North Carolina played. So, no, I'm not concerned about Virginia. In fact, I think they've gotten better in the last couple of weeks versus where we saw them, you know, a month ago this time. So if you're Virginia, hey, tough loss, better team beat you that particular Saturday, and you just pick yourself up and get ready for the next week of games.
Wednesday night, Cavaliers and Hokies on ESPN2 from Charlottesville.
Oof. Hokies desperate for a W there, right? In Virginia,
just
got to hold.
Just saying.
Yep.
Just saying. We get to Wednesday, we're going to have a lot of things, lot of stuff. All right, let's go to Winston-Salem because Forbes cranked up the Harley, and the next thing you know, the Deeks found a way against the Orange. I got to tell you, the head scratcher of all head scratchers is Syracuse's late game execution when they had a chance, Pack, to, you know, to potentially just shoot free throws and win the game. And Alondis Williams That young man is playing some basketball now. 25-12-4, and there's Dallas Walton on the big dunk late in regulation.
You just asked me, am I worried about Virginia, and I gave you an answer. If you asked me, are you worried about Syracuse, I'm going to give you a different answer. Yes, I am.
Are you worried about Syracuse?
I'm really concerned about Syracuse. This past week was, like I said, is a killer. You got Miami down 18. That is a game you've got to win. Mm-hmm. You're up 18. I don't care who you're playing. You can't lose them, not with your resume. And in the Wake game, you talked about the execution. It was really the lack of execution, Wes, which got them. I mean, just inbound the ball, catch it, get fouled, make free throws, go home with a great W. They're just not doing the little things. Right. And we've talked about the problem side on the defensive end. You know, Buddy Boeheim, we love him to death, but, man, he had trouble making shots again. So I was high on the Cuse before the season started. I am deeply, deeply concerned about Syracuse basketball. Here we are this late in the year, 46 seasons. They've never been this late into a deal under 500. And that non-conference resume is not going to pump you into the tournament. And so that means you better win a ton of games in the league. Wes, they're not winning right now a ton of games. So they've got, I think, ASAP need to start winning some games at Syracuse. Big time.
All right, our friend Brent Axe from ESPN Syracuse had the tweet over the weekend. Last time Syracuse basketball under 500 this late into a season, 12 days away from Richard Nixon's inauguration, 4 days away from Joe Namath and the Jets beating the Colts in Super Bowl III, and Marvin Gaye's I Heard It Through the Grapevine was number one.
It's not good.
Yikes.
That is not good. For old guys like me and you, we can relate to all three of those points of reference, and that is not what the doctor ordered. So for Coach Boeheim and his sons and the rest of that team, I'm not saying it's panic time, but it's time for Syracuse to start figuring out a way to start winning some games. Big time.
All right. Here's their next six. And we're going to have to do this with some of these teams now, mid and low thirds. You see Pitt at home, Florida State at home, Clemson at home, at Duke, at Pitt, and then, by the way, a home game with Wake Forest closes January that you don't see on the screen there. But that is a firm test coming right there now, Pack.
Well, when you're not playing well, all of those games are tough.
Right.
I mean, I just think that the way they're playing defensively, I think everybody that looks at them right now says, hey, we can score on these guys. And, you know, the Carrier Dome's always had that great reputation. It's an awesome place to watch a game when you have 30,000 in their pack, 20,000, whatever the number is going to be. But you know what? Virginia went there and won before they were making any shots. So, you know, teams are going to look at Syracuse now and go, hey, they can be had. I think this is a desperate time for Jim Boeheim's team. I really do. I just think that they've just kind of been meandering around, and they've had some goofy losses. And, man, this past week was a tough one because you could have easily been 2-0 on the road, and you'll basically lose two heartbreakers. And that, from a mental standpoint, can start wearing on you, especially when you're not clamping down on the defensive end.
Yeah. Give Wake credit, though. Alondis Williams, 25. Big assist to Dallas Walton. Get it to overtime. Wake keeps finding ways, and Forbes has done a great job. By the way, think about this. Old boy from Lone Tree, Iowa, played the second winningest coach all time on Saturday, right, in Boeheim. And coming up this week, Wednesday night, the winningest coach in Division I men's basketball will visit. You think that'll make the papers in Forbes' hometown of Lone Tree, Iowa? Local boy takes on two coaching legends.
I tell you, I've been as pleasantly surprised with Wake as I've been disappointed with Syracuse. Would that be fair?
For
everybody watching?
Yep.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Quick stop in Raleigh. You know, not quite sure. The Tigers, you know, didn't play well, particularly at home against Virginia. NC State, you know, wins at Blacksburg. And then all of a sudden you're starting to think, okay, where are the Wolfpack? In this ball game right here, Clemson did the tough things down the stretch, Pack. Big free throws from Nick Honor. Thought Collins gave him a nice lift. Alamir Dawes, there's Naz Bohannon. P.J. Hall, another strong effort. And it offset 27 from Darion Sebron. Brownell's team gets a great road win.
P.J. Hall was outstanding inside. And normally you think of Clemson offensively, they're firing up a bunch of threes and making it from the perimeter. Only made three threes. where they attacked. Yeah. NC State was inside. P.J. Hall was outstanding, as I mentioned, kind of dominated. Anytime you win one on the road, brother, you take it. You say, thank you very much. Catch you later. And I mentioned Clemson's won 5 of 6. That hiccup was the Virginia game coming off a COVID pause. Could have something to do with it, not making excuses. Virginia won the game. But the Tigers have won 5 of 6. Notre Dame's won 5 in a row, and they play each other this week. It kind of feels like a humongous momentum game in the league coming up.
I tell you what, I love the segues, because when we come back, we're going to dive into 3 more winners from the weekend. We will do that on the other side. Not only does there he is. Right there's the rookie. You need to know the name Blake Wesley. If you don't, you're late to the show. John Hughley's going to join us later. He had a big game for the Panthers. And Florida State knocked Louisville from the ranks of the unbeaten in ACC play. Monday's P&D continues.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
On a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN. On the men's side, a lot of tight, intense, close games. And we're giving you a little recap in case you missed anything from Saturday, because you had 7 games. And Wes, for the most part, every single one of them this side of Chapel Hill had a sense of, man, this is going to be tight. You had no idea who was going to win these games. It was really fun to watch.
Tell you what, outside of Saturday night Tallahassee and Saturday afternoon Chapel Hill, everything else was pretty well locked in, wasn't it?
I was going to say, even the Florida State game got within 2 with about 4 or 5 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just saw the final score, you went, oh, they won by 9. No. Yeah. That thing could have gone anybody's game about 5 minutes ago. But everyone this side of Chapel Hill was really, really close.
Yep. Well, including in Pittsburgh, where you knew. Now, there's just no way it was going to keep going the way it was going for Pittsburgh, right? I mean, the Panthers had just about had enough, didn't you think? And Saturday, Jeff Capel's team got off the schneid. They beat Boston College 69-67. John Hughley, 32-13. Telling you, gang, there are a few players out here that if you're not following this league, you need to kind of get your arms around, and this is one of them right here. We're looking forward to having the big fellow with us later in the show, because tell you what, he can go, Pack. I mean, we talked about it the other night at Louisville. That is a guy that can play and may not be the prototypical big, but man, has he got a package of moves on the baseline and at distance that he can be really successful with.
You know what I like about his game, Wes? I mean, again, you look at the numbers, you go, holy mackerel, 32-13, rebounds, everything scored. He is a terrific passer. I mean, he is a great passer. And so he kind of has the full package. And Pitt's kind of an interesting team because they've got, like, pieces that you see that you go, wow, they could be a real problem. The problem for Pitt has been close games. They've just not been able to get over the hump, but they finally pulled it off by knocking off BC. But that was another one of those games that you had no earthly idea who was going to win that thing coming down the stretch. Yeah.
Well, think about it. Tomorrow night, they're at Syracuse, and then Louisville revisits the ball game from last week, 10 days after the first game. That was a 1-point affair. The Cards, or 3-point affair, I should say. The Cards and Panthers re-rack it on Saturday night here on ACC Network. So looking forward to kind of seeing where Pitt is. That Pitt-Syracuse game, by the way, feels pretty spicy tomorrow night, doesn't it?
I'm not going to tell you it's a must-win for Pitt because it's still too early, but, man, they desperately need to win a game. I mean, they really do. And if Pitt goes in there and wins that game, I like I told you, I'm already concerned for Syracuse, big picture. But if you're Pitt, you're like, hey, man, let's go play. What do you got? Nothing to lose. Let's let it rip.
Yeah. BC, by the way, has lost 15 straight away from Chestnut Hill, has not won a road game in more than a year. Makai Ashton Lankford, 23. He was 5 of 7 at the line. Jaden Zachary, 12. For Earl Grant's team, who, by the way, has some spots, has a guy here and a guy there, but it's a bigger building process. And I thought Coach Grant was very candid with us in October.
Yeah.
Effort is going to produce success, but that success will not be overnight. And I think they do play hard, which is something we often wondered about kind of in the strands of of Jim Christian's run there at Chestnut Hill. But Grant has BC playing really, really hard at this point.
Wes, there's three teams in the league that have not won a true road game. Do you know who they are? It's a bar bet.
That would be, well, Georgia Tech won in Athens. Does that count?
Georgia Tech's an incorrect answer. Pitt?
Right, because they won in Athens. Pitt, right. PC.
BC, D-U-K-E, Duke.
Ooh.
There is a bar bet, ladies and gentlemen. That would be the Packer-Durham bar bet. Three ACC teams have yet to win a true road game. Name them. Pitt, ooh. BC, D-U-K-E. Duke. With that.
Ooh. Oh, boy. And Wednesday night, Blue Devils are at Winston-Salem.
Going to Switzerland.
Deacon on a motorcycle.
Mm. Right in front of the bench.
Used to be real close. We may tell that story Wednesday.
Enjoy the fumes, boys. Enjoy the fumes.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna have to sort that one out on Wednesday. All right, let's go to Atlanta. Georgia Tech trying to get on the win side in the ACC. Notre Dame trying to keep the vibe going. Irish in overtime win 72-68. Now, 8 of the last 12 have been determined by 4 or less between these two. The stunner in the first half was Hub, Leshesky, and Goodwin were scoreless. That was the stunner. Atkinson sensational, Blake Wesley sensational. Bray's team finds a way. The freshman is legit, Pack.
Play.
Legit in Blake Wesley.
Yeah, and he's a local too, right, from South Bend. I mentioned
South Bend. Yep.
Irish won 5 in a row. This goes – keep beating the same drum on this, but it's the key to ACC men's basketball January and February, piecing together the W's. Enjoy, and guess what? Notre Dame on the road, you take it. And it doesn't have to be pretty. All it has to be is a W, and that's exactly what it is. Now, yeah. The question I'm going to ask you, Wes, are you concerned about the defenders?
Yes.
You are.
Yes. And I'm concerned. I am concerned. And the reason I'm really concerned is it has to do with, look, they've got Rodney Howard is injured, may not play another 10 days for Josh Pastner's team. Jordan Mecca is a sophomore at 6'8", who I think is in the developmental phase. Saba Gigi Barria is a 7'1 kid, again, developmental player. They don't have any inside answers, Pack. Atkinson was 7 of 8, I think, the other night from the floor. If you are post-driven, like Duke, Banchero, Williams, double-doubles the other night. Baycott and Carolina come up Saturday for them in Chapel Hill. They play at Boston College this week. BC will be desperate. Georgia Tech, a loss on Wednesday at BC. They'll be 0-5 in the league for the first time since 13. I'm concerned. I'm concerned because I think DeVoe and Usher can only take you so far. And now they played a lot deeper the other night than they did the prior Tuesday against Duke. But you got to find somebody inside or find a lineup combination that that can give you some results, I think.
Yep, I agree with that 100%. That's why I ask you the question, because we're kind of getting to that stage. Yeah. I know we just literally crossed the halfway point of the college basketball season. There are a lot of folks that are – football driven that go, huh? What did he just say? Yeah, you heard me. Half the basketball season is over. But, and a lot of folks believe it's just getting ready to get started. So you got to really get dialed in on that. But you get off to one of those 0-for starts, man, you can start feeling the heat and the pressure of, hey, we better get this thing turned around pronto or this could get away from us.
Yeah, I do believe in the case of Georgia Tech, like a lot of other teams, it's a details business. I mean, I would say that with Pitt. We talked about that last week prior to their win. It feels like details, right? It feels like details with Georgia Tech. It probably feels like details with BC. But there are games like Wednesday night where the bottom of the bottom third of the league, you know, matches up. Those games, I think, are even more important now than the ones, say, North Carolina on Saturday, Notre Dame, you know, Saturday night. That's a home game, which obviously made it big. But you follow me here. I think you've got to get out of your own third, if you will, if you're going to try and have any success. And that's where Pastner's team clearly is at this point. Let's check in Tallahassee here before we get to the break, and we'll check the accounting and also women's basketball from the weekend, our next segment. Florida State wins 79-70. Pac's already told you it was a tight game, and then the Noles pulled away late. Caleb Mills, 27. How about that, Mark?
Thing that surprised me the most about this, I'm not surprised Florida State won. I'm not. I mean, listen, there's a reason these guys have been dominant at the Tucker Center, even though they lost at home to Syracuse, which snapped their ACC streak, which is kind of crazy now that you look back at it. So I'm not surprised Florida State won the game, but what I was surprised at was that they put half a hundred on Louisville in the first half. And, you know, that defense is one, two, man. And when you go on the road, you better be able to slap the floor and play some D. And when Florida State's going up down the floor, putting a 50 spot on you, that was a wake-up call. I thought Louisville in the second half did a much better job on the defensive side. And, again, got back into the game, cut it to two late. And, again, Florida State, to their credit, pulled away. As Leonard Hamilton told us, this is a young team learning to play, number one, with each other and learning how to win again. And coming off really just getting shellacked in Winston-Salem, I thought Florida State would come out firing, and they did. Good win for Leonard Hamilton's guys. Yeah. And here comes Miami tomorrow. Should be good.
Well, that, and you mentioned that. How about Louisville? They're going to turn around, and NC State visits the Yum Center this week. And that's a game that was a tight fit in Raleigh back in December. Matt Cross hit a big three to give Louisville the lead they wouldn't relinquish. So why would you expect anything else coming up on Wednesday night from these two, right? I mean, it'll be a close game. It's a tough road trip for NC State coming off the loss to Clemson. But here again, this is, if you're these teams and you want to stay in that top third, you cannot let losses grow. And that'll be the challenge, I think, for both Louisville and NC State. That should be a heck of a game Wednesday night.
We have talked about holding serve at home. If you're going to make any kind of inroads in this league, that is a must. You have to start closing people out at home and try to steal some on the road. It's really the perfect formula. So, yeah, for Louisville, yeah, disappointing. Hey, you've won four ACC games by 5 points or less. You found ways to win tight games. To me, that's a sign of a good, tough team physically, mentally. You lost one to Florida State. Hey, no big deal. There's going to be a bunch of people lose to Florida State this year. So how do you bounce back? Mm-hmm. You come home. You take care of business against an NC State team that can give you the Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, let's be honest. NC State, when they're on, they've got pieces that really embarrass you if you're not good to go. And Sebron's been unbelievable. So they've seen each other once, as you pointed out. It was a tight game in Raleigh. And, hey, it's ACC basketball. The way what we know right now at this point in time, you got to figure they're all going to be pretty close.
Yeah. All right. So we've capsuled the men for you here in this opening hour. When we come back, Pac thought it'd be a good idea if we cooked up a little accounting for you on this money. I'm not so sure, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yep.
We're not going to. I mean, yeah, why not? Let's go ahead. So we'll file it out 1-16 for the Pac-Man. Yep. I'll give you the traditional 15 teams. Plus, we'll check the ladies' card from the weekend in ACC basketball next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget, we got Thursday night ACC Women's Hoops for you on ACC Network. Always streaming live on the ESPN app. Number 17, Duke welcomes Virginia Tech to Cameron Indoor Stadium this Thursday night at 6. And that'll be followed by Sue Semerow and Nell Fortner matching wits in Atlanta. Number 16, Georgia Tech and Florida State. Thursday night, ACC Network streaming live on the ESPN app. And then the ladies, nothing but net follows. Right here on ACCN.
Coach Sue with a big win over the weekend, which we will talk about coming up here momentarily.
Yeah.
Dominating.
All right. So you thought – I got this note that, like, you thought accounting would be a good idea today.
I just think that, you know, maybe
we
just –
I was trying to get through the Falcons regular season.
Yeah,
and I got this
who cares?
Note. Falcons, we ought to do accounting.
Stick a fork in the Falcons. You knew they were done before you ever got to the stadium yesterday. They were done. Accounting, I thought we should do it because, number one, you had the earth-shattering game Saturday, Cameron, and you got two games on Tuesday, you got a handful of games Wednesday, and you know we've been doing this normally on a Thursday, Wes. The problem is man, you know, unless you're on the Mark Packer sleeping schedule and you're up till 1 o'clock in the morning, getting accounting ready to go for a Thursday show. I mean, you got all these games still going on, and it just makes it incredibly confusing. So we're like, hey, let's just throw it on there on a Monday and see where it goes. So there you go. You got this.
Once again, this is why you're the lead singer and driver of the Winnebago.
Just trying to make life easy. Just trying to make life easy for you.
I got you. All right. So I cobbled together now, made some government paperwork decisions along the way, and here we go. I put Miami at one, Pack. I hope that's not too controversial. Duke is 2, Notre Dame 3, Carolina 4, then Louisville, Wake, Virginia, Clemson, Florida State, NC State, Syracuse, Pitt, BC, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. Boy, that's my 15.
You got a lot of shuffling there. That's my point. Look at all the shuffling going on Wes's. Plus 2s, minus 3s, plus 1s. Minus 4s, you got stuff all over the place. How many teams stayed in the same spot for you? One team, Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, yeah.
All right, so you got one team stayed exactly the same. Now, let me just tell you I'm going to be a little different than you on this. A little different. Here's your Sweet 16. Look how many stayed the same with mine here. I, like you, Wes Durham, hey, it's all about scoreboard. You got to put Miami number one this morning. Yeah. Have to. I mean, hey.
Absolutely.
I mean, hey, we keep score, don't we? So Miami goes up 1, Duke goes down 1. I was so impressed with North Carolina. They hopped over a bunch of people. I thought the Heels were great on Saturday. Louisville drops 1 only because, hey, you lose to Florida State. No surprise there. I didn't think they were going to win anyhow. Swiss stay the same. Notre Dame stays the same. Clemson gets a bump. Who's dropped because they got smoked? Knowles stayed the same. State, same. Boeheim, same. Virginia Tech, same. Pitt wins. They move up. The Heights, we'll get to that in a minute. Drop 1. Defenders drop 1. And number 16, the Sweet 16, because I'm already sick of it. Man, we haven't even finished the college football season. I don't know if you know this. There's a national championship game tonight. But there's already morons with the way, 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 way too early preseason college football rankings for next year. Guys, just take a deep breath. We'll get to it. It's only January the 10th, for crying out loud. We're already worried about being the first one to come out with, here's my top 25 for next year. We don't care what your top 25 is yet. Nobody cares. So there it is. There's your Sweet 16 for this week.
Oh, me. That's good. I like that. Well done. Well done. Way, way too early.
Way, way, way
the Heights.
Early.
You want to explain the Heights? I like the unis, by the way. Well, I thought the Heights looked good the other day.
I did, too, and you're going to see that. I'm just going to give you a little subtle preview. When we do the best of the weekend, that makes the best of the weekend. Mm. I thought that was a nice touch of class. I liked what BC did.
And by the way, nobody at the University of Louisville cares what I think, nor should they. But can I just tell you the old school Louisville jerseys that Chris Mack has hauled out are really, really cool.
Amen.
The black, the red, the white, the Duncan Cardinal on the shorts, the block numbers, the block Louisville. Reminds me of Terry Howard, Daryl Griffith, Wiley Brown. I mean, that's old school Louisville. That's the kind of Louisville jersey I like to see there.
Yep, I'm with you. 1 trillion percent. No, dude, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, sometimes teams get cute with the uniforms. It's like, you're thinking too much. The Louisville look is great. I thought BC with the Heights was really cool. I know we just had the anniversary of the unitard from NC State. That should be burned and never brought back, including any photos or video footage of the unitard should be burned as well with the uniforms.
Pack.
There's some that just don't work.
Pack,
that never worked.
Most of the people don't even know what we're talking about.
Well,
when
they
we
should.
Say the unitard.
You should.
I know they should.
It's maybe the worst uniform in the history of the Atlantic Coast Conference. of any sport. I mean, you can't wear a singlet. You can't wear a wrestling singlet to do a basketball game. Just saying.
Do you think we ought to send somebody into research to pull the video?
I don't want to see it. Like I told you, video, photos, they were, and I didn't. We just had the anniversary of it because I saw it the other day and went, oh, brutal. Brutal. But the Louisville look, cool. BC, really, I really love the Heights. I think they could even incorporate that maybe some more. I thought it was cool.
And by the way, Larranega in Miami, little nod to the Miami teams of the like Leonard Hamilton Big East days, the old Tim James, Johnny Salmons type jersey the other night at Duke. I like that jersey.
I do too.
Constantina Popa.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some old Big East Miami jerseys. I liked those.
I did too. I'm with you. You and I are on the same page with all that today. Spot on.
All right. Let's hit the women's scoreboard here before we get to Greenberg at the top of the hour. Couple of interesting games here. NC State wins at Miami, 76-64 the final. Elisa Cunane, 8 of 10 from the floor, 19 points. Georgia Tech a winner against Virginia by 36.
Yikes.
Lorella Kubai, 17-11.
Hey, Wes, did you know that Virginia only scored 31 in that game, but they had 13 in the first quarter? 13.
Whoa.
They scored 18 points in the second, third, and fourth combined. 18.
Mm.
Yikes.
That's not good.
No,
that's not good. Number 17, Duke, a 9-point winner against Syracuse. North Carolina beat Virginia Tech by 25, Pack. Wow. That's a surprise.
Not that they won, but the amount that they won by. Like I said, they're unlike the men, there were some absolute woodshed jobs on the ladies' side yesterday, including what happened with Florida State and Wake Forest.
No doubt. 87-46, the final there. And then Cameron Schwartz, 39. Boston College beats Clemson by 6, 80-74.
Yep, she's one of three players. She's one of three players this year, Wes, on the ladies' side to put 39 and 9 together. Pretty impressive performance.
Yep, absolutely. And a great win for Coach Mack and Boston College. So that's an update. All the ranked teams are winners in the ACC. We'll keep you updated on that schedule as we head to the doubleheader we told you about a moment ago. On Thursday night.
And I'd like to say one thing. I don't ask me why, but I said on Friday's show that NC State was going to play Notre Dame, and it dawned on me, like, I don't know, 10 minutes after the show, I was going down through some notes. I was like, wait a minute. They're not playing this weekend. So I apologize for everybody who was excited for NC State-Notre Dame women's game. That did not take place over the weekend. That was my bad. So I want to come clean on that. There you go. Now I feel better. I can sleep tonight.
I'm sure they're going to play at some point. You just thought it might be Saturday. Is that it?
I don't know. That was a total screw-up on my side because I thought that would be a great game. And I emphasize there were two games. We come off the NC State-North Carolina game Thursday night. And I said, both these teams have really – they better get it figured out because North Carolina's got Virginia Tech, which they did play. And I said NC State was going to play Notre Dame. And don't ask me where I came up with that. I thought I saw that and read it, and I put that down on my notes, and it was incorrect. So – I'd love to see that game at some point in time, but it did not happen over the weekend. So give you the heads up on that.
Better news has just been delivered to me, Pack. Our producer, Drew Brooks, tells me that NC State and Notre Dame aren't playing in the regular season.
Well, that would be even more earth-shattering news from Friday's show, and I told you they're going to play on Sunday. I don't know where – maybe I looked at last year's schedule. I don't know what I did, but I totally screwed it up. So I apologize on that front. So it happens. We screw up. Well, there it is. But NC State won yesterday.
Hey, and again,
you got that going for you.
They did.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'll get
a pillar of this program, right, Packer?
I've always said it. You know, we try to get it right, but when we screw up, I screwed that up royally on Friday. So I apologize.
That's it. Yeah. All right. On the other side, the old coach comes by to visit with us. What does Seth Greenberg think of this league with daggone 17 games of 5 or less or overtime so far? We've played about 3 weeks of conference games. Amazing stuff. We'll talk to Coach Greenberg next, 8 o'clock on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.